Kunal, why should people support us on Patreon? This has been keeping me up till 3 in the morning.
This is a good conundrum.
See, people can listen to this free also.
I mean, if you support us, then other people also get to listen to this craziness.
Yeah. And the thing is, you see, like sometimes in life, you look at a thing and this is like, you say, this is so bad. My God, this is so bad.
And how can I spread this? It's almost like a disease. And when you pay, the bottom line is that you don't suffer alone.
No. No.
You suffer with other listeners.
You motivate demotivators.
Yeah.
So you encourage us.
To demotivate.
To demotivate you. And who else is doing that in life?
And why wouldn't you pay for such a service?
Enough people are paying, you pay to give you love, to give you things. How many people are paying to tell you that it's all shit?
Hmm. And just that, and that sense for the shitter things in life.
The truly shitter things.
Yeah. So we need your help and we need your support.
Yeah.
So please go to patreon.com/ourlastweek and...
party!
Yeah.
patreon.com/ourlastweek.
That's the one.
Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait. It's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast. And it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
Our roles are reversed. You're in the UK right now, and I'm in India.
Yeah. This is...
gone opposite.
Ulta palti.
Yeah. Are you liking it?
You know, apart from the inside of the hotel room and the outskirts of London, I mean, I'm pretty much staying in the airport. I mean, it's not...
yeah.
Like... so it's very close to the airport, and so I haven't really gotten to see much apart from the few locations we shot, but I haven't really been to London proper. So I'm on the outskirts of the city, and I guess all outskirts of every city is kind of similar, right? Like there's nothing much happening. It's kind of like quite drab.
So I would assume you're near Heathrow, so you are near Hounslow, Southall, yes. Those areas. And maybe
but
you
I
can
haven't
help.
Even gone into those areas because I apparently those areas are very, they're alive and buzzing with a lot of Indians, and I haven't been there.
But
I'm under the plane as the plane lands.
You haven't even left the aeroplane, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But you are aware, you know, that Southall, Hounslow are very big Indian areas, and maybe...
yes, Indian, Pakistani.
Exactly. Exactly. South Asian areas. And maybe you can explain to me... now those areas are almost fourth generation Indian or Pakistan,
yeah.
Right? And can you explain to me that you have landed and you're staying near the airport, but if you are a fourth generation British person, you would have thought that by then you would want to go a little more into the city. But all British Asian people build their lives around Southall, Hounslow, a lot of them. Is it because they always wanted to be close to the airport, you think, to get back to India? What do you think motivated the Indian community to grow up around Heathrow? Because they wanted to hedge their bets?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. The cheaper property prices and the fact that you could actually build a community. So as Indians like that sense of community and that sense of just knowing what's happening with all your neighbors and, you know, getting cousins married and all of that. So I guess that kind of just to keep everything within the community and build a sort of close, I guess that's why they, and of course, I think that if they're deported, then it's very easy to take the flight, or if, you know, there's like any legal issues,
that's what,
you can escape the country.
That's what I thought, you know, it was always like, we are committing to England, but it's always good to be near an airport. We're committing. We are committing. We're going to stay here for the rest of our lives. But just in case we want to be near the airport.
I guess
true for America as well, because a lot of the Indian community in New York is in a place called Jamaica in Queens, which is not far from JFK, the airport.
Right.
And I think it is something to do with going back to the days of the New World, you know, where, let us say, when someone landed in the New World, they were like, okay, we're going to make our lives right here on this beach. You know, I don't want to go too far into the country.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's what it was in the age of Indian migration in the 1950s, where they landed. They said, let's not go too far in. You know, the Empire State Building too far away. You know, let's see how close we can stay to JFK Airport.
I mean, I guess it's like people living around a railway station, right? I mean, like you come out of the station and then it's right there. You know, like, so anyone lands from India, they don't need to take them deep into the city and all. They land. It's just outside the airport. Just land and we're just there. Like, yes, baju mein hai. So it's very convenient also, you know, because even in the Indian community, there's a lot of picking up people from the airport, dropping them to the airport.
Yeah.
So it's just so much easier, no?
But do you think there's got to be one maverick? There has to be, because this is a podcast for mavericks who ended up in Hounslow, you know, or Queens, looked around and said, no, hell with this. I haven't come all the way to Britain to live in India. I'm going deep, far deep. To where there's none of you, where there are no Indians. There must be that migrant also, right?
Yeah, but unfortunately for them, when they went far and deep into London, all they found were Arabs, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, you know, Sri Lankans. So that I think there's nowhere to run or hide in London, so to speak. So I guess you have to go far and deep into the country. You'd have to go into, you know, you have to go to up to where the Scotch is made and all, in Scotland or Ireland or somewhere, to really find.
You mean to meet English people? Yeah, like I went to Alaska once, and I asked. I met a shopkeeper. He was from Surat. In Gujarat, and I said, what brought you to Alaska? He said, everywhere you go in the United States, man, there are too many Indians. And he just wanted to be unique. So he must have landed, he must have been one of those guys who landed at JFK, you know, and met the other Indians and said, hell with you. This is what I ran away from, you cheats and liars. And he went deeper and he went to Chicago and he met other Indians and he said, hell with this. So he went even further to Denver, he met other Indians. Went to the West Coast, full of Indians.
No.
He's got to go deeper and deeper, you know?
Went really deep.
And my last question, and because there are so many people of South Asian origin in the hotel you're in, have you been recognized?
I have, yeah. I mean, a few photos have been taken. I have been recognized, yes.
And these are people who follow your work who are in that hotel, you know. And again,
well, they
you
know that I'm
that's,
sort of semi-famous and that, you know, that...
You are semi-famous, exactly. Sort
of, yeah.
So they watch your shows, they watch your stream. And here's the thing, though. When, say, for example, you went to Italy to shoot.
Yes.
And you were staying in a hotel.
As I have been. Yeah.
You have been. Would you say there were fewer people that recognized you in that hotel compared to this hotel?
Yes, definitely fewer.
Because I mean, you've done a lot of work in your life, but I don't know if you're a big name in Italian cinema.
No. But I really did feel bad. I don't know if I've told you the story before, but I really there was a Italian line producer there who had spent a few years in India, and he spoke fluent Hindi. I mean, his Hindi was better than mine. I think he learned in Banaras or somewhere. So and then he learned Punjabi as well. So he spoke Hindi and Punjabi and Italian and English. And here he was with this film crew from India, but was unable to communicate with them because they were all Telugu speakers. So even after having learned two Indian languages, he still couldn't communicate with the with the team that had come in. So he's like, what do I need to do to really get a handle on, you know, because now a Tamil crew will come in next, and then there'll be a Malayalam crew, or there'll be a Bengali crew. And he's like, how many languages am I supposed to learn here to just to do work with Indians? I can't just learn like Hindi and, you know, and think I'm and get by. So that's the sad thing also, that, you know, you think that, you know, oh, once I've cornered this market, then I'll be the only Italian line producer who speaks Hindi, and, you know, it'll be so cool because I'll be, and then suddenly you have this Telugu crew coming there and ruining all your plans. So, yeah.
But did you tell him that finally, by doing that, he's become Indian? Because we, each of us, suffer from the same problem. None of us speak any Indian language properly. Yeah. And yet we're trying to work in the Indian entertainment industry. Good. And therefore we are, you know, that finally that true, he's truly an Indian because he speaks a couple of languages. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give him a passport because he speaks a couple of languages badly, like all of us.
Yeah.
And then he gets work in a third language that doesn't speak. You should have told him, if you think you have a problem, I'm in this film and I don't speak Telugu.
Yeah. I don't speak the language. Exactly.
Yeah. You think you just have to be a line producer. You have to find me a car and a location. I have to convincingly tell a woman she loves me and I don't speak a word of the language. Kunal.
Yes.
Near where, in my new house, there was a religious festival, the Mount Mary Festival. It's a Christian festival honoring Mother Mary. The last year of the festival, I get a knock at the door. And this young lady says, do you have 2 minutes to talk about Mother Mary? And I said, I'm in the middle of a work call. I lied, I wasn't, but I didn't want to have a conversation about God. And the lady said, do you not even have 2 minutes for God? And I'm like, maybe I have 2 minutes for God, but not now. Like, not when you want 2 minutes for God. You know, like, I'm just watching a TV series or something. And then I shut the door and I felt bad. And I was like, why did I not have 2 minutes for God? Then I realized I just didn't have 2 minutes for her. I could have two minutes for God. And why can't God, like everybody else, make a scheduled appointment? You know, and then we're both respectful of each other's schedules.
Yeah.
Do you think I did the wrong thing, or do you think I'll burn in hell?
No, I think you did the right thing. I mean, for me, even if God had come to the door and said, do you have 2 minutes for me?
Himself.
I would say, listen, I'm sorry. I just have to finish this. I'm finishing this series and then I've got my podcast later and then my kids are coming. I can't do it right now. So for me, I think I wouldn't have spared 2 minutes for the Almighty himself if he had come. Because I don't like people coming in the middle of my day. When you know, like, I have other things. Maybe I didn't want to do anything. Maybe I was, you know, I was making fried eggs and something. And then God shows up and I'm like, not right now. You know, come, I mean, you call me first or whatever. You know, we'll figure it out. You WhatsApp me and then we'll see.
And it'll be, because quite, it would be quite interesting if God showed up and rang the bell and said, who's this? I'm God. Oh, you're the guy everyone's talking about. Yeah, I'm God. Do you want to talk about me for 5 minutes? Like, no. See, I'm currently frying an egg. So I think that God will also realize that you've given everyone a life and schedules.
Yeah.
And lives
he'll also realize that, listen, that you know, to go to someone's door directly and just say, like a salesman or like someone who's just like not supposed to be there at that time. It doesn't matter, right? Like, this is not the time. This is not, I'm not free right now.
Schedules are important, you know. I bet you, even if God had shown up at the door of, like, one of his servants, like an archbishop, you know, or the Pope or the Archbishop of Bombay, even that guy would have been like, yes, I spent my whole day worshipping you, but right now I'm busy.
Yeah, because Sunday Mass, you come just before the Mass. I have just prepared my whole speech and all that stuff. Now you're coming, people are waiting.
Yeah.
Finish fast then if you have to say, whatever. Like, don't.
Or meet me during work hours on Monday when I'm praying.
And, you know, you have to get an appointment and come. You can't just come like that anytime. What is this?
I mean, I'm the Archbishop of Bombay. You could be God, but I'm an important guy.
important. You know, somewhere you need to draw the line. It doesn't matter, you know, who is at the door.
Was he even? Yeah, it could be God, but you got shit to do. And you got shit to do.
Yeah.
Kunal, very odd situation happened to me. And a little annoying. And when I told you the story, you were also annoyed by this as well. I met a guy at a party. And he looked at me and said, I know you from somewhere. He didn't mean like as a performer or he'd seen me on stage. He just said he knew me from somewhere, from some regular life thing. And I knew exactly where he knew me from. He knew me from an event we'd met at some years ago. And I told him, I know you from this event we met at some years ago. In fact, there was that little incident where that teacup spilled and that's where you know me from. That's where we know each other from. And he said, no, no, that's not where I know you from. Just tell me where else do I know you from. Now, step one, I remember clearly where I know him from. He's denying that. So he's, why am I suffering for his bad memory? So now I have to invent other places where he thinks I know him from. Only for him to reject those because obviously I don't know him from there.
Yeah.
And then eventually he disappointed, he's a little broken and he goes, ah, maybe I know you from that event where that teacup fell. Yeah, maybe I know you from there. Yeah. Then he got disappointed the whole thing and left. Now, what do I do with people like this, Kunal? Like, well, how do you deal with people like this? Because I am compensating for his memory loss and he's disappointed that where he knows me from, first is not the memory he wanted. And to the memory, it is not a good enough memory for him.
Yeah, no, this is very problematic. I mean, and a lot of sort of minor celebrities also face this problem very often. I think I've mentioned this before because some people have come up to me and said things like, where do I know you from? You know?
Yeah. Now, that's even worse.
Where do I know you from? So I try to help them generally. I said, yeah, I act a little. So maybe you've seen me on stage or screen or TV or whatever. I said, so what have I seen you in? So I'm like, what do I know what you have seen? You know, like what is like, how am I supposed to tell you? What do I know of your life? What your likes, dislikes? What like, you know, what filmography you have watched?
Influences.
I'm like now, so you want me to start just naming things now randomly?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's your concern. What have you seen me in? Like, what do I know what you've seen in life? Yeah. I drop them and I say, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't because know. I can't help you.
For that whole thing to work, you have to go back to then. Imagine if you pursue that, if you encourage them, you're like, okay, what have you seen?
You know, so what all have you seen?
What? Yeah. And then you
see, I've seen Jaane Bhi Do Yaaro. No, I'm not in that. I've seen Shole.
Jaws. No,
Jaws, no, not in Jaws. Amar Akbar Anthony, no. Inception, Inception, no, I'm not in that.
Keep going.
Tell me all the movies you've seen in your whole life.
And eventually, what if it's like, he's like, I think I know you because I saw you at IKEA. It's like, yeah, it could be that. You know, like he goes through his entire repertory and you realize he knows you from Nature's Basket because he was buying avocado next to you.
No, these are complete assholes. Then the other one I hate is when people come and they try and do that pull your leg one, you know, which is that, where do you know me from? Huh?
Where do you know me?
Who am I?
That's the worst.
Who am I? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know who you are. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know me. Where did we meet? I'm like, get out of, I don't know where we met, man. Don't trouble me. Just introduce yourself, reintroduce, and then tell me. Nah? Like, don't play this game. Like, people on the phone also do this, you know. Hello. You know who this is? Like, no, I'm sorry. I don't know who this is. Okay. How have you been? I'm like, you don't know who this is, huh? You don't know. I'm like, oh God, what this, am I, man?
It's just unwinnable.
Just say who you are. Don't play these irritating games, man.
The worst part of that is that now, even before you can find out their personality, you despise them. because they have begun with a game of self-importance.
Yeah. Because and they want one up on you. You know, like they want like, ah, see, you forgot me, nah. You forgot me. They want that one-upmanship. It's literally that, listen, I have it on you that you forgot me. Now I'm going to, now you got to, you know, now you got to do this for me. Or now, are you forgotten me. What do you, like, you are a big person. It's very irritating. It's very, very irritating.
Yeah, and the thing is, they want to somehow prove, put you in the back foot.
Yes.
And then suddenly if you did remember them also, and you're like, no, I was just kidding. You know, I know you. You're Sukumar, no? You're Sukumar. You're with Vodafone. I know you because we met at that screening, no? That we did that special screening for Vodafone. And he'd get disappointed because he just wants to put you down.
He at some level he wants you not to remember, or she wants you not to remember who they are, so
because
that they
there's
have
no
that
fun for him. Years ago, I don't know if I'll get into trouble for saying this. Years ago, I got a call in 2005 or 6 about some script from the actor Anil Kapoor, and it said unknown number. And I picked up the phone and he said, Anubhav, Anil here. And then it struck me that he's assuming that he's the most important Anil that I've heard from. So surely it must be Anil Kapoor. But Anil is such a common name.
Yeah.
How does he know that I'm not also getting a call from Anil Ambani?
Correct.
You know, or any other famous Anil, you know?
Yeah, Kumble.
Anil Kumble? How do you, you know, Anil Kumble is not calling me. So there's a presupposed hierarchy in his head that if he just says Anil, a very common Indian name, he's still sitting on top of that hierarchy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not fair to the other person.
It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Because how does he know how many Anils I'm playing with?
Yeah.
And how many gradations of Anils?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't know that I have a college friend called Anil Nain, who's in line to be head of the IMF. And he could easily have an unknown number and call me and say, hi, Anil here. So, you know, I just think it's unfair for people to play with us like this.
Yeah, it is. It is totally unfair.
You know, like if someone calls you, right, and immediately says Rahul here. You know, like, even if you're Rahul Gandhi, you could probably not be the most important Rahul.
Yeah.
You know, like, where do you sit as a Rahul? Like, how does Rahul Gandhi know that Rahul Subramaniam, the comedian, is not in your mind a bigger person?
Correct. No, and the thing is, because I think they need to give at least the full name. You know, you need to have the full name.
And if you are in, like, if you have a common name and you're famous, then don't have an unknown number.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot that you're expecting.
Correct.
Final conundrum, Kunal, where we're starting this little section on our podcast of getting conundrums from friends who also happen to be, I guess, well-known people. And this week, our conundrum is from our good friend and colleague, someone we've worked with quite a few times, Kubra Seth.
So I guess my conundrum is as simple as this. You know, most women say hips don't lie. And trust me, I don't lie when I say that, oh my good old Lord, my hips are tight. They're so, so tight. Apparently, it's because my hip flexors are tight, my glute muscles are tight, blah, blah, blah. And the only way we can, you know, sort the situation that I'm in is by, you know, doing regular, like every single day, stretches and strengthening of muscles and mobility. Yar, isi mein aada jeevan ja raha hai yar. Matlab, maine to abhi tak bacche bhi paida nahi kiye. Abhi se hips tight hai. Batao yar. This is like really, really difficult, you know. Yeah. So, please tell me, how do I fix my tight hips? Why you're incredibly wise and insightful and hilarious podcast?
So that is her conundrum, Kunal. She has tight hips. I sometimes feel I have childbearing hips. I don't think so, though. You've seen my hips. Do you have childbearing hips?
I don't think your hips are childbearing, but I think that currently you look like you are bearing a child.
I could be Kubra's surrogate. I could carry Kubra's child if she's worried about her hips. So I don't know. I don't know if you have any suggestions. We've never had any solutions for hip management on this podcast.
No. In fact, we have had very few people ask us anything to do with health and nutrition and stretching.
Because they look at us and think these are not the guys that we want to come to for this. But I guess...
We don't have like a dietary advice kind of podcast either.
We don't really have one of those. But I guess Kubra saying her whole life is going in these exercises because everything is very tight. And I would say spend your life doing other things. You've written a book, Kubra. You're in some fantastic shows. And people remember you for that. I don't know if there'll be a world where people will say, we won't watch her shows or read her books because her hips are very tight and Anubha Pal is bearing her child.
Hmm.
We will continue to love her as an artist, regardless of the size of her hips. So maybe you
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could do other things and focus. But the thing is that, you know, I just think that as we get older, we're aging now. And just physically, I think... You know, the other day I was leaning against a car. I was just leaning, you know, and I had my arm was on the sort of the hood of the car, the top above the window. And then I got a huge, like a bruise on my arm. I was just leaning on the car and my arm is bruised and it was paining, you know, and like, you know, sometimes you bend down to pick up something and you get this shooting pain in your back or your knees. I have this pain in my tailbone, which hasn't left me for 2 years since I fell while skiing. I don't know if I told you this.
I tried to pick up a suitcase the other day.
Yeah.
And I bent down to pick up the suitcase. And then I kind of remained in that position because I was afraid of what would happen once I lift the suitcase. Like, I just was worried that my spine would break. So I kind of remained in that contorted position, thinking this was not a smart move to bend down and pick up a really heavy suitcase. It was not the wisest move. But then your body sort of tells you that. Like, you bend down to do what? No. You're 47. No. You know, so there comes a time where I think you think you can do it. You give yourself a bit of a push. Like when you went skiing in Kashmir, you're like, I can do this. You know, I'm in my early 40s. I can do this. And then your tailbone sent a different message saying, you know, this is not why Article 370 was abolished. Yeah. This is not why. Come for a holiday, but don't push yourself like this.
Yeah. Don't get too big for your boots or your skis, you know.
Like, Yeah, exactly. Oh, don't
just
get too
play
big
in
for
the
your
snow,
big...
make a snowman, you know, just do that kind of stuff. What are you doing? You know, I just think that be kinder on yourself is what you're saying, Pal. Be kinder on your body.
Be kinder on yourself, Kubra. You've achieved so much, you know. And if it's all about having a child, you know, clearly as Kunal is suggesting, I'll be the surrogate. And then your hips can be whatever size you need them to be.
Correct.
This has been Our Last Week.
It has.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners. We keep getting lovely, lovely notes and messages from you. And it really keeps us going. And it honestly keeps us going because you think we have exciting lives, but I am sitting in a under a very dim light in Calcutta, and Kunal is in a dismal hotel room in Hounslow. So it's really our Patreon and our listeners who have far more exciting lives, and their conundrums are really what sort of allows me from not having to just stare at a light bulb. What do you think, Kunal?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's we've been receiving some very heartwarming messages, and it's really nice to know that people do listen.
So on that rare note of emotion, please write to us at ourlastweek@audiomatic.in. We're on Patreon, yes. patreon.com/ourlastweek. And
that's where we are.
That's where we are. And we love you. And if you have any suggestions of what Kunal should be eating in the UK or places he should be visiting, he would be happy to hear from you. Would you be happy to hear from them?
I would. I do need a lot of recommendations, so please do send in your stuff. I'm here for
please,
a bit.
Please tell him about things to do in the UK at ourlastweek@audiomatic.in. And very, very soon, as next week, we will be announcing our live show. Our first one will be in Mumbai, and we will be announcing it here. Where else on the podcast is better than going house to house? And so
saying
it
now is not announcing. I mean, so the
no,
fact we're that you said it is not the announcement
that we will be announcing. Yeah,
that you will be announcing. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is not the announcement.
Yeah.
This is
the pre-announcement to an announcement, which will then be an announcement. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Inception.
Nice.
Of invitations.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Akanksha Kadam and Avdhoot Khanolkar, hosted by Anubhav Pal and Kunal Roy Kapoor.